weren't here last week, like I said, there's a financial report, but Jonathan ministered on faith and finances. Woo! Go on the website, listen to it, right? Go on our website. It's right there. It's in. Listen to it. Powerful, powerful message. All right, I'm going to read from Mark 1, 21 through 31, and then we're going to pray, okay? Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet. Come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Verse 29. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Father, help us to understand this morning your word. Help us to understand authority and how you have delegated your authority, not just to Jesus, but to us. So we thank you. We pray that as we learn this today, we would leave here changed and transformed. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Good. So we've been going through Mark, and we're going to do that for the next few weeks until we come into March. Then in March, we have a whole series called Crosswalk. And it's not, you know, we have the crossing guard crosswalk, but it's a walk to the cross. And that will be March and then April up to Christmas, Easter. Woo! But we are going to have a Good Friday service. By the way, we did this last year from 6 to 7, and we're going to do that again in the evening. So this whole idea of authority says here that in verse 22, that they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority. Now, there are two words that deal with power and authority in the scriptures. We're going to look at those two because you can't have one without the other. If you don't have authority, you won't know how to use the power that we have in Christ. Okay, and that's important to know. So, two words. One, power, and that the Greek word for that is dunamis. And the reason I share that is because it's where we get our word dynamite, right? So that power, that dunamis, or that dynamite power, its strength, its force, its mighty works, right? And that's something that Jesus said that we would have. He said, wait in Jerusalem, Acts 1:8, wait in Jerusalem until you have received power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That power, that dunamis, is for us. But we can't function in that dynamite power without understanding the authority that we have. Right? It's important. The two go hand in hand. So the other word that's used, and that's here, this authority that he spoke with, it's exousia in the Greek, that's what the word is, but it refers to power, but listen to this, but focuses on the right to use that power. In other words, it's delegated authority. So we're going to see this morning that you and I have this exousia, this delegated power, a right to use the power that he gives us. But if we don't understand the authority that we have, we won't function in it. The enemy will have free rein in our lives. And too often, church, I and us allow the enemy freedom to rule and reign in our life because we've stepped back and we've not used the authority that he gives us, the delegated authority. So I want to look at Luke 4:13-15. And the reason I want to look at this portion of scripture is Jesus had just been baptized. Now, by the way, y'all know that Jesus, even though he is God in the flesh, he functioned as a man, right? He did not function here on earth as God, right? Y'all know that. It's important to know because he is our prototype. He has shown us how we can live filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what took place in Luke. We see that verse 1, I'll just quickly look at verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And you know the temptations that took place. Satan came along and tempted him after 40 days in the wilderness. He'd been fasting, no food. Actually said no water. It's a miracle. But down in 12, 13, and 14, this is after these temptations took place. And Jesus answered and said to him, verse 12, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus always responded to Satan's attack with the word. The word. That's why, church, it's so important for us to be in the word. Right? When you're in the word, you can respond to the enemy with that word in your heart. If you're not in the word and the enemy lies to you, you don't know, right? Come on. Now, verse 13, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Satan departed. By the way, he'll never leave you forever. He's coming back. He'll come back to taunt you, to tempt you, to bring trials, right? He did that to Jesus. But this is important, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the what?
Power.
The power of the Spirit to Galilee. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And that word power is that word dunamis, that dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. He returned. How did that happen? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he functioned in the leading of the Holy Spirit. Church, you and I have that same ability. Got quiet. In the Word, we're told that he gives us power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And that is not some ecstatic kind of thing. Oh my gosh, I can't control myself. Holy Spirit is upon me. No. Paul told the church at Corinth that were moving in that way. They allowed their flesh to get in the way. That everything is to be done decently and in order. Right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he does so in such a way that brings glory to God. Amen? Come on. So we see that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit before he went out and did any miracles. Do you know that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit before we go out and do anything? Because when miracles begin to happen, if you and I think, oh, it's me. Look what I've done. I'm sorry, but that's a bunch of baloney, right? Because you can do nothing in and of yourself. Neither can I. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, who gets the glory? God. God gets the glory. Let's go to Matthew. Oh, this is so good. So good. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. Jesus had been ministering to a group of people, and he ends it like this. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. Why? For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was life in the words of Jesus because he spoke what he heard the Father say. Right? The word. Church, when we get this in us, we're hearing what the Father is saying. This is one way to hear. Get the word in you. Read this word. Don't say, oh, I read it last year and that was good. I read through it. Read it every year. Every year. Don't stop. I've shared with you that Julie and I made a commitment back in, I think it was 2000, at Life Journals. And we've brought those here. And some of you are doing that. I encourage you to continue. Back in 2000, we started doing Life Journals. And I've got a stack of them in the drawer in my desk from way back when. It's incredible what God has spoken and continues to speak. That's what is so incredible about God's word. It's always new. It's always fresh. Fresh bread. Think about the children of Israel. When they were in the wilderness, they had to get manna. How often? Every day, except the Sabbath, right? On the day before the Sabbath, they got double the amount of manna, and it lasted till the following day, so 2 days. Then after that, they couldn't gather more than what was good for a day. It would go stale. That's God, okay? You and I, we need fresh manna on a regular basis. We need this word in us. It's not just good enough for one. A couple years ago, I read the Bible. So, how about yesterday? How about today? Are you getting the word? I want this to be fresh. I want it to be fresh. Back to Mark 1:22, the whole idea, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Right? That's how Jesus taught. He had authority. There was a delegated authority upon him. Now, because Jesus had authority, he also gave us authority. And I love this in Matthew 28. Check this out. Matthew 28, the end, as Jesus is departing, verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them. What did he say? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to listen when someone says all, say all.
All.
All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Policemen have authority, right? That badge is authority, right? There's power. It's delegated authority. Have you ever seen a policeman put up his hand to stop traffic? Now, if we all didn't recognize they have authority to do that, that hand would mean nothing, right? It'd get run over. Okay? They don't have strength to stop a semi as it's coming their way, but they have the delegated authority that says, when I put my hand up and I tell you to stop, you stop. Okay? It's not because they've got this. It's because they have delegated authority and they put their hand up and you stop. Church, do you know that we have delegated authority that when the enemy attacks, stop! right? Stop in Jesus' name. Men, do you know that as if you're married, you have a spouse, you have authority in that house to speak to what's going on in your home, with your children, with your wife? You have that authority. It's delegated authority. There is an order. It's not because you're any better. It's God's authority structure. We have authority to speak to the things of the enemy and say, stop. You have no right here. You got to come through me. I'm serious, man. I challenge you. Because this is something that I'm realizing for me in my house again. I got authority, and I need to use that authority. I need to keep the enemy at bay from my wife, from my kids, and I'm going to use it. And so should you. Moms, you have authority with your children. Speak over those issues that are taking place. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I love this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I am with you always. Now, why is that important? Because if we've been given authority, we need to know that he's with us. Remember in John 14, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, but when I go, I'm sending Holy Spirit. Okay? So where Jesus was only able to be at one place at a time, when he went to be at the Father, by the way, he's still one place at a time. But Holy Spirit can be everywhere. And so Jesus said, I'm going to go be at the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you. He will be with you. He will never leave you. Is that a good thing? You better believe it. You better believe it, church. I can't tell you, I've shared this before, I can't tell you how many times Julie and I have been told things that our kids are doing by Holy Spirit. And then we talk to our kids. Darn, how'd you know? Here's one time my son said to his friends, I know that God is real because he talks to my dad about me. He's right. He's right. So he who had all authority has given us authority. So I want to look. How do I know this? Go to John 1:12. John 1:12 says this. But as many as received him, who's him? Jesus. As many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right. Now that word right is exousia. It's authority. They just happen to translate it as right. But it is authority. So he gave them the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So right off the bat, church, you and I, as we believe him, as we surrender our lives to Jesus, we have authority. It's been given to us. Delegated authority. Now, we get to choose what we're going to do with that delegated authority. I've seen families where one spouse abdicates their authority. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. Just have free reign. Do whatever you want. and the house is not in order. Same thing happens in the spirit realm. We can abdicate our authority that has been delegated to us by Jesus. And then the enemy messes with us. You know what I'm talking about? Church, it happens. And it happens here. It's happened here, right? I'm speaking from experience. It's happened when I give up and say, I'm done. I can't fight this fight any longer. I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired in the flesh. Holy Spirit gives us strength and power. We just have to fight. That's what spiritual warfare is. Spiritual warfare isn't easy. It wouldn't be called warfare, right? Come on. It's not easy. But I tell you what, when you and I stand in the authority that has been given, delegated to us by God, we will be victorious. I guarantee it. We will be victorious. When will that victory come? I don't know. I don't. He does. And because he's given us authority, we stand in that authority. We continue to stand. And I'm going, as soon as I said that word, check this out. It's not, but y'all know this in Ephesians. Oh, talk about authority. Listen to this. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, right? The power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, say therefore. Therefore. Wherefore the therefore, right? Therefore is we're going to stand. We recognize that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers of darkness. But we've been given authority, and he says this, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in what? The evil day. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. There's something that Paul is trying to tell the church at Ephesus. You're going to stand, and in the midst of the attack of the enemy, you're going to keep standing. Don't stop. Do not stop. Don't give up. Keep standing. The armor that he's talking about, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. The shoes had, or the leather sandals that they had little nails in them. So when they're in a fight, man, they could stand, right? And they've got their shield, and they've got more of a foothold. Church, this word are the nails that he's given us to stand firm. When the enemy attacks, what are we going to do?
I can't take it anymore, God. I'm done. I'm going to go lie down in my bed and I'm going to go to sleep.
You know, whatever it might be, right?
I can't work at this place anymore. They're calling me names. They're making me mad.
By the way, no one can make you mad. Come on. No one can make you mad. No one can make you jealous. No one can make you depressed. No one can make you any of those things. You allow it. When we have those feelings, we're allowing someone to do that to us. I know it's kind of simple, and there's it really is. Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Take all of me. Help me to stand firm in the midst of the enemy's attack because he has given you authority and he's given you power. How do I know that? Do you believe that what God will do for one person, he'll do for another? Right? God is not a respecter of person, correct? Okay. So I like to remind him, God, what you'll do for one person, you'll do for another. Now, I need to stand in faith, right? I need to trust. Faith is really trust, relying upon, right? Faith. I need to trust him. Doesn't matter what things look like. I'm going to trust him. And again, that's difficult, especially when we don't get what we want right away or what we feel God's promised. Right? Have you got a promise from God that maybe you haven't received yet? Come on. Yeah, it's tough. Listen to this. So Jesus has his 12 disciples. And listen to what he says to them in Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together. Now listen, hear this. And gave them power. He gave them power and what? Authority. So in other words, he gave them the power to accomplish great things, but the authority to do it. The delegated authority. They needed that. If they just had the ability to do miraculous signs and they just kind of went out and did it, but didn't know, wait, I'm doing this under the authority of God. Now all of a sudden, there's something that rises up in you and I don't in myself have the strength. He's delegated authority to me to function in this way. To God be the glory. Because whenever your head gets too big, man, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit says, this isn't the place for me to hang out. Do you hear me? Come on. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over some of the demons. What? Are you kidding me? Wow. It does say that, doesn't it? All. Over all demons. Wow. So whatever attack you're under, I believe you have authority over all demonic forces in your life. It takes work. It takes commitment. It takes tenacity, right? I'm going to keep hammering at this thing until I see victory, right? Right? Because the enemy, he knows if we're just going to wimp out. Man, I'm just going to keep pressing on them. I'm going to keep pressing. And you watch. Hey, demons, check this out, man. They're going to give up. What happens when all of a sudden I'm standing? No. All of a sudden, whoa, demons are saying, what happened, Satan? Well, we'll keep attacking. We're going to keep pressing them. We're going to keep, you know, afflicting them. You watch. They're going to give up. And if you keep standing firm in faith with the authority that God's given you, pretty soon the enemy's going to say, we can't win here. Let's go bug somebody else. Right? We'll bug somebody that doesn't understand the authority that they have in Christ Jesus. How about this? Not only did Jesus give power and authority to 12. Oh, they were the disciples. They're the apostles, man. They're special. Listen to this in Luke 10, 17 through 20. Powerful. Then the how many? 70. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. When you and I function in the authority that God's given us, Satan cannot stand. He will fall like lightning from heaven. And in verse 19, I love this. Behold, I give you what? The authority, exousia. I give you the right to use power. I give you delegated authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. All. There's that word again. All. You have authority to trample over all the power of the enemy. And that word power is the same power that we have in Christ. They have a dunamis. It's dunamis power. There's power that they have. But let me tell you a secret. The only power that they can really function is the power that we surrender to them. Come on. Because the power of God is stronger than any power that the enemy has. Either we believe that or we don't. Church, I believe it. I believe that the created being is not as strong as the creator. I believe that God has all power, and he has given that to us. And so the power of the enemy is subjected to our authority when we function in it. You hear me? This is good stuff. Good teaching, Pastor. And by the way, I'm preaching to me. Because I can't walk out of here and think, I'm all that in a box of chocolate. Because I'm not. I'm not. We are all level. We're level. God doesn't say, oh, look at Pastor Dennis, man. No. He says, look at my son or my daughter. They caught it. They're functioning in the authority that I've given them. I'm going to come alongside them now. I'm going to lift them up. Right? I'm going to strengthen them. They're going to function in that authority. Okay, let's end. This is good. Good place to end for right now. We'll be back next week. But John 14, verse 12. This is Jesus talking. Does Jesus lie?
No.
What?
No.
Okay, good, good. Now, so I can believe what he says, right?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah. If he doesn't lie, I can believe what he says. So here's what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. What's that mean? He goes to the Father, he sends Holy Spirit. You and I now have the ability to do what Jesus did and greater. Why? Because there's more of us than there were of Jesus. There's one Jesus. Can you imagine this room full of people walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Come on, right? We walk out of here with that power and that strength. Man, the enemy is going to say, oh, we can't fight them. And he's right. He can't. Because you and I have a power. When we're united, when there's strength in numbers, when we're united, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we recognize that we have authority, man, we're going to go out and this community will be transformed. This community will be transformed. Your household will be transformed. You get the understanding that I have authority. Husbands, you start praying for your wives and for your kids. You praying for your workplace, for your home. Man, you pray the peace of God because I've got authority to speak that over my house. And you see these things begin to happen. I challenge you. I challenge our men's group yesterday. Challenge the next week, just on a regular basis, whatever attack you have sensed is going on in your house, take authority over it right now in Jesus' name and begin to speak that. Because do you know that the spirit world hears us?
Yeah.
It does. It just does. The spirit world hears, and the spirit world has to obey this word. This word spoken by faith out of our mouth. And when you and I get the understanding that we have authority that's been given to us, delegated authority and power, and we begin to speak that, man, the enemies, they found us out, right? They know about us now. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? They're going to go somewhere else where people don't understand what you understand. And then guess what? Then we get to be able to share that with other people, right? Wait in Jerusalem till you receive power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. So when you get an understanding and you function this in your home, it's not just for you in your home. All right, God, I'm all that. Man, this is great. Look what I did in my household. Big deal. I mean, it is a big deal, but what about the neighbors? What about your workplace? What about people walking down the street that are lost? Man, they're just frustrated with life. Man, you get in and you start sharing with them, and they get a hold of that, and pretty just one by one, we transform our community. Amen?
Yeah.
Come on. Church, we've got to do that. This cannot be the only place. By the way, another challenge. Worship team, come on up and prepare us to close. Here's a challenge. When you come next Sunday, come filled up, right? Already have the word in you. Pray before you come, get in the word, so that when you come in here, what happens is now you're coming with an overflow, as opposed to coming drained.
I just hope they sing the song that I need today,
right?
I hope that pastor says what I need.
No, you're coming filled up. You're going to come and overflow here. And now all of a sudden what we're going to have is we're going to have a group of people. Worship starts, man, and we're overflowing, right? Now there's joy that's already taking place rather than,
I'm going to hope they do this or that so I can get the joy.
No, come with joy. Come with joy. How do you do that? Daily, be in this word. Daily, church. Come on, get in this word. Pray this word. Watch what God will do. Take authority. You'll come in here next Sunday, man, and we're going to be excited. All of a sudden, we're going to be, man, look what God's doing. Man, God's alive and active. He's moving in my life. Man, he's done this in my family. He's done this in my neighborhood. I can't believe God. Yeah. Come on. Are you clapping because I got all excited or because you want that so that next week when you come, that is the overflow? Amen?
Amen. I just want to share real quickly. Many of you guys know my story. A year and a half ago, actually almost 2 years ago today, you know, I was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer. But you know what? I know God's word. I know his promises. And I told the devil, when this first happened, I said, devil, you messed with the wrong lady.
Come on. Yeah, come on, come on. Come on. Yeah, and by the way, yeah, Jackie, by the way, you had an example here, didn't you? Nella. Remember, Nella had cancer, and she just did the same thing. The word just said, nope, this is what the word says. And you just kept speaking the word. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. No cancer. Right? So, and Roger, same thing. Roger, lifestyle, right? No cancer. No cancer. So, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Come on. Come on. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Whew. Are you ready to worship Jesus? Are you ready to bring this thing to, oh, I love it. Let's do this. Let's pray. And by the way, if you're here today and, you know, maybe you just say, man, I need Jesus. I've walked away from him. I'm doing my own thing. I need what you're all talking about. I need faith. Man, I need to rise up and my life needs to change. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me today. I need Jesus. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He's here for you. You know that. You know that. Yeah. Kay, can I have you come over to Sherry and just pray with her? Sherry, just keep your hand up. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want you to go from here without knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that, man, your life is renewed in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody else say, you know what? I want to serve the Lord. I'm tired of running from him. I want to walk in the authority that he's given me. I want to walk in the power that he has for me. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be honest. I want that I want to walk in that power and that authority on a regular basis. I don't want to be a part-time Christian, right? I don't want to be part-time. I want to be full-time. So, Father, this morning we come to you and we thank you, Lord, that you have given us authority. You've given us power. And that we can walk out of here, Lord, standing in the power and the authority that you give us. Lord God, we do not have to shrink from the enemy. We don't have to give up. We don't have to bow down to the enemy, but we're going to bow down to you. And we're going to stand strong in you. So we thank you, Father. We thank you. As we go from here this week, Lord, may we walk in your authority and in power. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Amen.